The word today is spouse. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. One of the most important decisions a person can make in life is who will be their spouse. A husband or wife will influence our lives in such important ways. The book of Proverbs includes godly advice on the characteristics that will make a woman a good wife. Faith and wisdom are needed to find such a woman of honor. Here to discuss this important topic further is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Spouse.
Today we're going to talk about one of the most important decisions that you may make in life, and that is the choice of a spouse. The Bible has various passages on husbands and wives, and they're all very instructive for us. Especially today, I'm going to focus on the selection of a godly wife, a woman who would be a fitting helpmeet. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, it says, "A wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones." And you might say, "Oh, wow, is that is a harsh judgment, like decay in his bones." The Proverbs in the Old Testament are very striking. They're very strongly stated, and they show big contrasts. For instance, a noble wife versus decay in the bones. It doesn't get more opposite than that. And so it's quite often that those extremes are expressed in the Psalms, and that's one of the things that makes it a beautiful book to read through, because it expresses wisdom in such vivid terms. Now, we're going to talk about the role of a man selecting a wife. Now, why is there so much emphasis in the Old Testament on the wife, finding the correct wife, choosing the correct wife? Well, like for instance, in the book of Proverbs, this was written for young boys to gain wisdom. In the ancient world, it was the men who were educated, and the women were not given an equal opportunity intellectually to be educated formally. That's one of the great things that Christianity has brought the world, is this equality of the sexes in regards to intellectual development. Jesus reached out to women and welcomed women and talked with them many times when other rabbis, other Jewish leaders, would not. And the Christian world has followed up with that in offering opportunities for women in terms of education and attainment. And that's something that's not often recognized by some cultures, but it is the truth. But back in the book of Proverbs, in fact, especially in the first 9 chapters, there is an extensive discussion of morality and decency for young boys, and it spends a lot of time talking about how young men should behave and that they should be chaste and decent. And then it goes on from there in the book to occasionally discuss the marriage partner, the person whom you would select, as in the verse we're looking at today. So the spouse that you get from God is an unusual situation because they are a gift from God, but you get to select. It's sort of like when someone says, "Hey, I'm going to give you a gift," and you get your option of several choices. But you have to choose wisely. Therein lies the mystery of marriage, is because some people don't seem to choose very wisely when it comes to selecting a person to be with, and others seem to have great discretion and wisdom. That's why, especially as a person who wants to please God, you're going to give this some very serious thought. You're going to contemplate, what kind of person would I pursue as a marriage partner? By the way, marriage is a covenant. It is intended in the Bible as a lifetime agreement. That is what the symbol of the two will become one flesh stands for. The person that you marry, it is intended by God that this is the union for life. The world does not take that very seriously anymore, but Christians take that very seriously. And Christians should do everything they can to avoid divorce. And in fact, many times when relationships are truly struggling and are fraying, the Christian will work hard in order to try to maintain and heal the relationship. And it is true that because of sin, many times marriages fail. But praise God for the people that struggle and work and try to heal their marriage and make it. There's millions and millions of people that have made it in their marriage because they worked hard and forgave each other. And that's a really beautiful thing. And we need to recognize that. You know, there's billions of women in the world, as there are billions of men. So there's a lot of options in terms of marriage partners. And some people suggest, well, there's only one right person in the world for you. And frankly, I think that's mostly an emotional statement. I don't believe that to be true. Sure, of course, the person you end up marrying is the one that God selected for you. We get that. However, as we said before, there's a lot of options. God gives us freedom in this. It's not as though God only had one person marked for you and you matched the number and that's the person you got. No, actually, I believe that a person who is mature, responsible, practicing their faith could have a good marriage with any number of Christian women. By the way, I don't believe in polygamy. So when I say any number of Christian women, I'm not talking all at the same time. I'm talking as one marriage partner, just to be clear about that here. Now, the one person who's right for you, what are they going to be like? Well, this is what it's discussing in Proverbs chapter 12. And in fact, when I was looking for my wife, Connie, when I was looking for a good marriage partner, I had in mind Proverbs 31, which is a beautiful discussion of the wife of noble character. She's industrious, she's thoughtful, she's intelligent, she's godly. Really a great template for someone that might be looking for a wife. And here we see that you got to be picky. There's any number of people that might be willing to be with you, but that doesn't mean they're the right person. And this is where the world gets things all messed up. They put sexuality ahead of things, and then they get entangled in relationships that are not healthy, and there is not a lot of agreement and compatibility. It gets everything messed up. So the first order of the day is to be chaste and decent, to be sexually upright and holy, that you're not hopping into bed with people and then getting into trysts and relationships that are damaging. The Christian is to do opposite of the world. The world will often put sexuality first, and the Christian is supposed to put morality and decency first. So that's the first principle. It's interesting when it comes to what we would like in a marriage partner. I remember an anonymous woman once said this, and I quote, "When I was 11 years old, I made a list of the 87 qualities I wanted in my future husband. You're the first man to meet 10 of them. We can work on the other 77. That's an actual quote. Can you believe it? 87 things that they want in a person. I would suggest that this is getting a little bit too picky, a little bit too critical. Sometimes we have very selfish motives in relationships, and we need to be less critical and focus on the things that are truly important. In this text, it talks about a wife who is noble versus disgraceful. Well, you know, nobility in the ancient world was through heredity. You were born into it. It was a political class, and you were aristocratic. You were separated from the rest of the culture and society. Well, what about the spiritual principle here? Spiritual nobility as a Christian. You're born again into God's family. It is often said you're a child of the King. You're a child of God. You're an heir of salvation, and you are free. You're not a slave to sin. A noble Christian spouse is going to be a believer. They're going to practice their faith. They will show moral character. They will be forgiving, and they'll be conscious of their witness. You can see then why this would be a spiritually noble person, a person with high principles. This is whom we're looking for. We don't want someone who is humiliating to us. So we want to look for someone who is living their faith. And in 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul is talking to the Christians, and he is saying, "For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we glory in the presence of the Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you?" He uses the word crown to summarize his feelings of appreciation and joy for the Christian people. And in fact, you feel like you're a king. You feel like you have won it all when you have a godly wife. And so thinking about how to become a godly spouse, well, you want to avoid cohabitation and promiscuity. These do not help marriage. They do not help us in our relationships. You do want Christian togetherness and to practice your faith. The scripture says that we should not be unevenly yoked with each other. You want high standards. You want to not cave in to loneliness. You don't want to give in to temptation and thereby sabotage your efforts at finding the right spouse. When I was looking for a spouse, I wanted a woman that loved God more than she would love me. I wanted her to have a good mind, and I was hoping she would be beautiful. And God granted me those three things. I hope that you will commit yourself, whether you're a man or woman, to being a godly, good person in Christ, living in faith. That's the best way to try to find a good spouse. Be a Christian who is in the Lord and living a chaste and decent lifestyle. Keep your standards high but few, and God will bless you. If your heart's desire is to find a spouse, he will lead you to the person that you can marry and have a beautiful marriage together.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find the Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org. to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support the Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at the Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have the Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.